From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekosebek is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The sale of Confederate flags by a vendor at a firefighters' parade last weekend has caused a furor on social media and led to threats against an event organizer. Confederate flags have been deemed a hate symbol by the Anti-Defamation League, and in December, under legislation signed by former Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, the flags were prohibited from being sold or displayed on state-owned property in New York. Flags were being sold by a vendor at McQuaid Park in Cooksaki after the Mardi Gras parade on October 8th. McQuaid Park is owned by the village. The issue was raised at the October 12th meeting of the Cooksaki Village Board. Mayor Mark Evans explained that the fire company sought permission to hold the event at McQuaid Park as part of the 150th anniversary celebration of D.M. Hamilton Steamer Company No. 2. Resident Carly Lynch asked that the village develop guidelines for use of the park that are in line with the 2020 state legislation. Lynch said, and I quote, "I expect the village to move swiftly to create guidelines that align with this state law, making it unlawful to sell or display the Confederate flag or other symbols of hate on community property like McQuaid Park or at community events," end quote. She called having the Confederate flag at a local park offensive and distressing. Lynch said, and I quote, "I was totally shocked," end quote. Evans said the fire company asked the vendor to remove the Confederate flags after it was made aware of them. D.M. Hamilton Steamer Company President T.J. Moore said the vendor agreed to take the flags down around 9:30 p.m. Friday. Organizers and officials declined to identify the vendor. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia R. Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Dutchess County residents would see the largest property tax cut in the county's history under the 2022 spending plan proposed by County Executive Mark Molinaro. In an October 13th press release, Molinaro said his tentative budget would cut the property tax levy by $5.5 million, resulting in a decrease in the average property tax rate of more than 10%. His spending plan would also restore funding for all positions in county government and expand and enhance programs, including mental health services, domestic violence victim advocacy, expanded in-home senior care support, emergency preparedness, small business promotion and support, parks investments, opioid abuse treatment, and case management. Molinaro will unveil the proposed budget on October 27th. If approved by the county legislature as presented, the county will see the 8th consecutive property tax levy cut and the 7th consecutive property tax cut since Molinaro took office in 2011. Earlier this month, he announced his annual spending plan would include the elimination of the county's 4% sales tax on clothing and footwear, costing up to $110. Molinaro, a Republican, has declared his candidacy for New York's 19th congressional district seat. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Noah Zweifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise. In the town of Bern, incumbents are not running for re-election, and both the Republicans and the Democrats have fielded a full slate of candidates. Democrats had dominated town politics for decades, but with the 2016 election, even with an enrollment heavily favoring the Democrats, the town went for Donald Trump, and the GOP found a way into local politics. In 2020, the majority Republican town board took office, and this year, the one remaining Democrat on the town board is not running for re-election. In November, Democrat Peggy Christman, a retired state police lieutenant, is facing off against Republican Dennis Palau, who is retired from the U.S. Army and is now serving as the town's deputy supervisor. Republican incumbent Sean Lyons is not seeking re-election. In the race for a seat on the town board, carrying a 2-year term because of a resignation, Democrat Timothy Lippert, the town's former code enforcement officer, is running against longtime town clerk Anita Clayton. Clayton, a registered Democrat, did not win the Democratic line in the June primary, so she is running on the GOP line. A 4-way race for 2 4-year terms on the board pits Democrats Jennifer Merrill Fuller, a community volunteer, and retired biologist Patrick Martin against Republicans Thomas Doolin, a physician's assistant, and Leo Vang, a retired pilot who was appointed to the board in March. Six of the eight town board candidates participated in an online live forum last week. Doolin, who was working at the time of the live event, answered questions prior to the event. Palo, the GOP candidate for supervisor, declined to participate, and Vane, a Republican candidate for town board, failed to respond to multiple invitations. Read the details of the forum in the Altamont Enterprise. Jerry Zremsky reports in the Buffalo News that the Biden administration announced October 12th that vaccinated Canadians can cross the border into the United States in early November. The border has been closed to all but essential Canadian travelers for 19 months because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Vaccinated Americans have been allowed into Canada since August. New York Senator Chuck Schumer said, and I quote, "Since the beginning of the pandemic, members of our shared cross-border community have felt the pain and economic hardship of the land border closures. That pain is about to end very soon. Very soon, the link between New York and our northern neighbors will finally be reestablished, reuniting families, bolstering businesses, and ending a frustrating cycle of waiting for everyone involved," end quote. While Canada requires vaccinated Americans show proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours of their arrival, the United States will not have that requirement. And you can read more about this story in the Buffalo News. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.